talk with Phil Hendry on Coast to Coast PM from west of the Rockies. Dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, 1-800-449-8686. And to talk to Phil here in the studio or to talk to yourself, dial 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show on the Premier Radio Network.
Question is, how long do we play those before Art's, you know, God love you, Art, but people forget that he ever was on the air? And then pretty soon people are going, why does he have that guy doing that stupid announcement? Oh, I get it. It's shtick from the Art Bell Show. That was like 100 years ago. Move on! But we'll keep playing it for as long as we like it, I guess. You still like that? This guy's name's Ross Mitchell. Wonderful guy. Did the open for Art Show. That's why we play it. Do you get it? Probably not. Phil Hendry here. By the way, Mike Schaefer, my producer, is trying to get us floor credentials for the Democratic National Convention so that we can broadcast our show live from the floor of the Democratic National Convention. And they have told us there isn't a chance. We had to have this done by May. We had to go through 16 or 17 different media offices. And so I'm going to demand that they put us on the floor of the Democratic National Convention so we can do our show from there and popularize this process and get people involved in their government and get them involved in the process of nominating a president. And if we don't get out there and get to do our show from the floor of the Democratic National Convention, then I'm going to get really angry. That so far is what we've threatened them with, and it hasn't done anything. It hasn't had any noticeable effect. So we'll go back next week with something else, with some other threat. By the way, I walked by the offices of the comedy writers here at the Premier Radio Networks, and the guys were getting ready to put together some more comedy. And I'm telling you, this is day, how long have we been here? March? I think it was in March that we started doing the show from our remote studios here in Sherman Oaks. And I ain't seen anybody laughing there yet. Now, I ran into Rob. I ran into, one of the guys from the network in the elevator said, how come you guys are never laughing in there? And he said, geez, I don't know. We take our comedy seriously. What's it to you? And I said, no, no big thing. But today I walk by, and these guys write comedy for a morning prep service called Morning Wood. And I walk by today, and a guy walked out of there, looked like he'd just been watching Schindler's List. This cat, there wasn't anything remotely fun about that guy's experience in that office, as far as I could tell. So we've been here since March, and I love those guys. They're nice people. Everybody's very sweet here. But when I walk by the office, I've never seen anybody laughing in there. I see guys staring into computer screens like they're Secret Service agents looking for new counterfeiters, like they're looking for the 10 most wanted, like they're scanning for a cure for neck cancer or something. Anything but what they're doing, the Morningwood Show Prep Service. It's like they're looking at a diagram of the lymphatic system of the human body to see if possibly they can block the virus somehow. It's like they're online looking for an answer to, you know, why is there some place they can put their mother? She's 86. She's good, but not that good anymore. They're going to have to lock her up. A locked ward, but someplace benevolent. Benevolent. Do you know any good locked wards, Craig? Don't laugh. I had to put my father in a locked ward. Just think of the term. Think of those two words and throw them together. Locked ward. Do you know what that means? You got to put somebody in a locked ward when they start wandering. Now, my old man, and I haven't told this story much, but I think I will now. I think I'll kick the show off with some real laughs about my dad being in a locked ward. Now, this is humorous. My old man, don't start getting a glum look on your face like you feel bad for somebody you never met before in your life. Come on. Laugh it up. I do. My old man. Hey, look, let me tell you about my father. He wasn't a good father. He was not a good father. All right, just so you know, and you may say, oh, well, okay, Phil, so what are you going to do now? Now that the man is dead, these 13 years, now you're going to drag his name through the mud? I haven't mentioned his name, have I? And you want to know something else? It's about time. He had everything he wanted in this world. He had everything knocked, man. Three wives and the benefit of their dowries. Owned gas stations, owned all kinds of... My old man's tried every business in the book to start. He tried to start up some professional coach business where he'd shuttle businessmen back and forth from the airport. He had a gas station back when Gulf was out on the West Coast. Anybody remember Gulf? Gulf Oil? Yeah, my old man had a... That's why you don't remember Gulf Oil. My old man owned a gas station of theirs down in Palos Verdes. My father was not a good father. He was a... How do you put this in a... How do kids... This is what young people say about their parents, especially their fathers, when they don't want to refer to them as being absentee or bad parents. They say, my daddy got around. You know, my daddy, he's a traveling man. Papa was a Rolling Stone. So they don't come out and they say, well, my father basically was an absentee father. He was no father at all. He was a lousy father. He should never have been allowed to have children. He wasn't good at providing. He wasn't good at much of anything being, you know, anything having to do with being a man. They just say that he loved women. Daddy was a sailor, used to chase the pretty guy. I got it already, okay? My old man sucked. Nice guy, funny guy. I had a couple of laughs with my father, but he was lousy as a father. He had four kids. He didn't provide anything for them. No college money, no real high school tuition, nothing. This guy split in the late 1960s with wife number two, ran off to Europe. I'm really getting into some bitter stuff here, Mike, so pull me back if it starts. If I begin tearing up, go to commercial, all right? Seriously, though, my father went off to Europe with wife number two and left the kids, you know, the four real ones that he had back here in the States. And I slept on a couch in high school. I don't know about you, but I was sleeping on a couch. Oh, I'm sorry. Schaefer slept on a floor. So he had me beat. I slept on a freaking couch. And my father was a bum. He was a bum. You know what a bum is? That's a guy that can't provide for his kids and can't be loyal and faithful to his wife. That's a bum in anybody's book. That was my dad. But by the time he got to be into his 60s now I'm a man in my 30s, okay? And my father was, like on his deathbed. I realized, and we were estranged for a good number of years, about 3-4 years. I finally had it out. I said, look, this is what I think of you. You're a piece of crap. You got no business telling me or anybody how to live their life. You have absolutely no business giving me any advice on how to conduct my life. And you certainly don't have any business telling me how to spend money or save money or otherwise invest it. Because by the time he croaked, I remember I called up my stepmother. I said, so what about the will? She says, there wasn't one. I said, there's nothing. She said, there's nothing. I said, just the crap that was in the closet. We went into a closet and got some crap out. That's what my old man left. I got a gun, which, well, now you know how my dad died. But anyway, I got a gun of his, and my sister's got a couple of medals from the Army, and I think a ring, and that's it. But by the time he died, when he got sick, there's a thing called duty, and I don't know where I got it, but I got it. A thing, you have to have duty as a son. And when my old man was dying, and he was in a rest home, and I'm telling you, he was in one of these crap can rest homes that they stick old people in. I got him out of there. They had him in some place. You could smell the old man's underwear in the bed next to him. It was a real rat hole, right? So I got him out of there. We moved him to a place that was relatively good. I spent money on a bed for him and all this crap, and I sat there and I read to him. And because his mind was gone, he had Alzheimer's, and he was having strokes like every month. And I would read to him, and I'd try to get his mind sharp. This is what you do to be a dutiful son. Even if you can't stand some bitch. Pardon my language. So I did that for him, and then he mercifully died. Which I can tell you, if you have anybody in your life who is lingering on death's door and you feel like, you know, you're saying to yourself, I hope they die soon, it's perfectly natural, perfectly normal. There's nothing wrong with it. It's exactly what you think. When they've been hanging around there for like 6, 7, 8 months and they ain't going to get any better and all they're going to do is die someday, but they're hanging out for a long time and you want them to just go ahead and croak, that's a totally normal thing to feel. So finally the guy croaks, and that was mercifully, you know, that happened. And then I come to find out the guy didn't leave nickel one. That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect. So it's okay. I'm not angry. I'm not blaming my old man for any problem that I've ever had. I'm not blaming him for anything. It's, I've got total responsibility, total control over my life. I'm not blaming my mother. Nobody. All I'm telling you is my father was a bum. I just thought I'd share that with you. Okay? So the next time you hear somebody say, Papa was a Rolling Stone and Daddy got around and all that bull crap, what they're really saying is, Daddy was a bum. Two-bit, no-count, bum. That was my father. Now, should I be talking about that? I don't know whether I should be talking about it or not. I feel like I should make some kind of a formal announcement on it. Don't you? I mean, it's been hanging around in my head for so long. It's just come out and formally announced, by the way, my father was a bum. Okay, let's move on with the show. I think that it's something that should be recognized and stated. Not a hobo. He wasn't hopping the boxcars. He was a bum. So you need to do that, and I'll tell you why you need to do that. Just in case there are any illusions concerning Papa being a Rolling Stone and you can't keep a good man down and all of that crap. If you got four kids and you got a wife, Jim, you better stay home and take care of them, okay? That's all there is to it. I don't care how things are, whether you need to start a new life or anything, whatever your problem is. Just stay home, take care of the home fires, take care of your wife and your kids. Sorry if you made the mistake of getting married and having the kids, but guess what? You're stuck, Charlie. By the way, that me, myself, and Irene, at the very beginning of the movie, Jim Carrey's wife has an affair with a midget black chauffeur, and she has three black kids, and then she leaves Jim Carrey with the three black kids and splits with the midget chauffeur. That's how the movie starts. Like that would ever happen. Okay, it's Phil Hendry here, 1-800-449-8686. Show here. The flight attendants have, I guess, expressed concern over an increasing amount of physical danger that they seem to be in flying. Flight attendants and pilots, I guess people on aircraft are getting up. And what happened most recently? A woman got a beer can thrown at her, right? A flight attendant got a beer can thrown at her by a passenger on an aircraft. The woman threw what, Mike? She threw beer at her. And the pilots, too, have to deal with this, right? Pilots have to come back and calm people down. A full can of beer she threw at this woman. Now, I was flying to Mexico, I guess, whenever it was, you know, a few weeks ago. And suddenly, for the first time in all the years that I've been flying, I began looking around at the passengers sitting with me, wondering which one of these people was going to get up and start throwing crap or take a crap on a cart or whatever these people do when they're afraid of flying, which is what I think is really at the bottom. There's so much anxiety up there. Now, Mike is telling me the woman who threw the beer at the flight attendant bought the beer on the plane, correct? I don't read lips, Mike. Oh, she brought it on the plane. Okay. How did it get through the x-rays? Well, first of all, you can buy beer at the little shops in the gate area, so you don't have to go through security. You can just stick a can of beer into your purse, and it depends on where you're flying. Like if you're in Mexico or you're some country. I don't know what airports in America sell cans of beer. I don't even think that's the point. The point is these people are so freaked out when they get up there, they start throwing beer on flight attendants. Or this guy that went nuts and mounted one of the food carts and took a crap, which is the most incredible story that I've ever heard in the history of my life. Or these guys that, you know, they're all a bunch of nervous flyers is what they are. The anxiety packed into the fuselage of any given aircraft flying over any given city in this country at any moment must be record-breaking. The people up there that are freaked out about flying. And they get a few drinks in them, which they heard calms them down. First of all, these people probably don't fly much. Secondly, they probably don't drink much. So they get their first two beers in them, and suddenly it's a big party, and they're throwing beer cans all over the place. Anything to try to calm them down. I think in a case like that, man, they got to give you the opportunity to open that emergency exit and push them right out. I don't know why it is I don't have better access to that emergency exit, why I can't just go ahead and throw that thing open myself. And just kick that thing open and throw those people out. Or tie them. In other words, you can cram them up into those overhead storage lockers, those overhead deals, man. Just shove them up into there and close that thing. You can do that with kids. You do that with a lot of people. Anybody that's bugging you. But these guys that are up in an airplane, and they got a problem with the flight attendant because they didn't get their food on time, or they didn't get the drink that they ordered, or they're suddenly just really nervous. You could stick them in the can there. Well, now, they used to have air marshals that would fly around with the air marshals who would fly around with the various flights because they had hijackings. Now, you don't see that happen much anymore. When I was in high school, man, they were hijacking airplanes all over the place because they had some problem going on. Either it was a political problem or whatever, man. It was generally some cat had some organization. He wanted to free some dude from a jail cell. Some guy that was packing cocaine somewhere, you know, like had it stuffed in a suppository and he got thrown in jail and the guy wanted his money back. So he hijacked an airplane and pretend like it was something political. Or, you know, whatever. So you don't see people hijacking airplanes anymore, like for political reasons. God, how I miss those days. Bring them back instead of some broad throwing cans of beer at the flight attendant because whatever problem she's got, she's got. Maybe her dog. Here's the one that I can't get yet. Maybe I will. The dog. Somehow there's a dog involved. There's a pet. They won't allow the dog on the plane. And the pet owner gets upset. The snake owner, the snake charmer, the cat owner, whatever the hell animal they got, they get upset because they won't let the dog or the cat or the snake or the mouse or whatever sit in the seat next to them. Well, you know, Delta, I understand. I actually had this conversation with a woman. Delta allows your dog to fly with you, but put the dog in a cage and stick it below. Better idea. You know what we'll do? You're right. We'll let the dog sit first class. We're sticking you in a pet carrier and putting you down there. I think it ought to be either or. Either you fly up here without the dog, or the dog flies up here without you. Frankly, I get along much better with a dog sitting next to me than half these clowns, like that guy that was flying with one time. He had his computer, and he started playing country music over this thing while I was doing whatever he was doing on his computer. He was editing his notes, and he was writing, and he was taking some serious time, man, to really download his thoughts into the computer that he had there in his lap while he had some country music piping out of the speaker in this thing. And he leans over to me, and he says, "If this is too loud, you let me know." And I said, "It's too loud." It took like a half of a nanosecond. This guy had been running his big fat yap there sitting in, you know, first class or wherever it was. And he said, "Well, that Clinton, what a piece of dog puke he is. Why don't, you know, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion." Now the guy's got to sit down next to me. So there he is. He's running off at the lip and he's got his country music playing. Now, I got nothing against country music, but when it's synthesized coming out of computers, I got big problems with it. And this guy leans over. He says, "If this is too loud, you let me know." I'm letting you know there, Hayseed. 10-gallon hat and a big old mustache. I said, "Not that you ain't good-looking or anything. I'm letting you know. You have to let me know that fast?" "Yes, I did." "Can I hear another?" "No, you can't hear another song. Turn the thing down. Your taste in music is criminal. Just criminal." I said, "If you actually had that by George Jones, I'd listen to it, man. But you got the computer-synthesized version of it. Which is, I can't even begin to describe it. How do you describe that?" "It's that crap, that synth crap they play over the thing." I said, "What'd you do? You download that at Napstar?" "Hell yeah. Matter of fact." You get the real music, man, not that. God, if only he'd thrown a beer can or something at a flight attendant. I was already, man. I had a piece of chicken wire. Go buy the freaking CD, pal. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. show here. So anyway, I heard about a person who was flying recently, and the stewardess came, or the stewardess, the flight attendant, the person came down the aisle, the person in the dress with a hat came down the aisle. It was the pilot. The person in the dress with a hat came down the aisle with a mentally disabled, retarded person and sat that person down next to my friend and said, "Ma'am, do you mind?" Ask the question. And, you know, when I heard the story, I said, "Well, why didn't you say, yes, I do mind. I don't want that sitting next to me." And, of course, you know, I was joking. I was half joking. Well, how do you say, "Yes, I mind"? First of all, this poor person, this I say poor person, they probably got it great. They got people picking them up and loading them on airplanes and taking them off. It's fantastic. But they're mentally disengaged. They're mentally out. They're gone. They're mentally, the technical term is mentally gone. He was going, going, and gone. He was going to go visit his father. That was the story. And so this poor chap, and again, I use that term in relative sense, is on the airplane. And they sit this guy down next to this friend of mine, and they say, "Ma'am, do you mind?" And you're going to look like the world's largest elephant dung if you say, "Yes, I do mind. Could you please move the tard back to the other end of the plane?" You're going to say that. "Do you mind if the..." "Yeah, you know what? I just can't deal with it today, man. Somebody else, someplace else. I don't know." I suppose you could. But you'd look, you know, suspect in the eyes of the flight attendants. You know, in a lot of ways, I shouldn't be saying about that lady who threw the beer. The flight attendants, too, they exercise a little power and control. That's their little, that's their fiefdom up there. And sometimes they can be real cute, can't they? Sometimes they can, you know, like one time, this guy's going down the aisle and says, "Hey, you missed me on the drink cart. We don't read minds, sir. Did you want something?" And I thought about it for months afterward. That's how much it bugged me. Months afterwards, I thought about this guy with the "we don't read minds," thinking, I got more of a problem than he does that I'm worried about this for months. Just get over it, okay? Bad day, bad flight. I don't know what his problem was. Bad food. But they have their little world up there, and you better, you know, heal too, Jim. You better just do what you're supposed to do. Otherwise, they're going to mess around at all. Now, if you're nice to them, like when Maria and I go down to Mexico, we generally are partying pretty good before the plane takes off. Before the plane takes off, you know. And we're really nice to the flight attendant because we want that stuff, you know, "Let's go, ho-ho!" "And what would you like, sir?" "Bloody Mary. Would you mind if you just brought the can and the booze and I'll do it myself?" "Not at all." "Yeah, I'd like a Bloody Mary. You don't mix it. I do. Is that okay?" "Sure. And bring me 3 bottles of vodka, 3 of those little bottles, 3 of those little cans, a lot of limes, and some salt and some pepper and some Tabasco and some, horseradish. And that'll be great." "In other words, sir, just let me bring you the drink cart. Is that it?" "Yeah, bring the whole thing and I'll figure it out." But they get their world up there, man, and you got to do what they want you to do. So they bring down this poor this chap who is mentally up a tree, and they sit this guy down. Now the cat is sitting next to my friend, and he's, you know, he's a sweet little man, but, you know, he's kind of retarded, you know. And he's saying, he's stroking her hair now. "And you have pretty hair. I wish that you could have, what, you're so pretty." I said, "What did you say?" "Well, I let him do it." "What do you mean you let him do it?" "Don't you realize the man's an idiot? He's daft." Then he started singing "Michael, Row Your Boat Ashore, Alleluia," and he wanted to know if she'd sing it with him. He said, "Do you know the song, Michael, Row Your Boat Ashore, Alleluia?" "I don't know the words." "Well, what words? Those are the words." Because he was freaked out by flying, so he wanted her to sing the song with him. "Michael, row your boat ashore. Do you know those words?" "Yeah, I think you just said them." "Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead and say, oh, I can't remember them." And then, see, what was happening is this guy was being taken to another city to, and his father was going to pick him up at the other airport, and he said to my friend, "Can you tell my daddy how good I did on the airplane when we get off?" So in other words, you're sitting next to a child. And how do you deal with children? How do we all deal with children? When they act up, you dangle them by their feet out of a second-story window. There's no difference between a child and perhaps a mentally way out there adult, somebody who's got a little bit of the, you know, there's a problem there. Go ahead, hang the guy out the window. Open it up, something like John Lithgow in a Twilight Zone. You know, his face is covered with frost when they finally pull him in. See? Don't mess around with my hair! Otherwise, I'm going to stick you out there again. Ow! Ow! That hurt. Yeah, here we go! See? Don't go messing around with my hair. Don't pat my thing. And I don't want to sing Michael, Row Your Boat to Shore, Alleluia. If you don't mind. It's cold out there. Yeah, it's very cold. As a matter of fact, there's no oxygen out there. This cat, I'm going to hang you out there again. Do you ever get there with the emergency window? I love the emergency window. See, I'll go ahead. I'll sit there. I don't care. That's beautiful because I get to get on first. I get the whole thing, you know? Why? Like, I can't open up the emergency? Not only that, there's plenty of leg room. Why do they need volunteers for jobs? I'll take it. We have to make the announcement. Does anybody want to sit at the emergency exit? It means you get on first and there's more leg room. Nobody? Okay, I didn't think so. Yeah, I'll get on. It's your duty to help other people off the aircraft in an emergency. Now, that's the job. If you sit at the emergency exit, that's your job. You help people off. I can't think of a better gig to have on an airplane. I think that'd be fantastic. Are you ready, Grandma? Yeah. You grab them by the collar, one foot on their rear end, boom! Down the slide they go. Next. Wham! Next. If I don't get off first myself, that is. Oh, man. So how did we get on my father when I was talking about the Democratic National Convention? I'll tell you why. My dad went to the Democratic National Convention in L.A. in 1960. Now here it is, the year 2000, 40 years later, and I have the opportunity to go to the Democratic National Convention, and I guess I don't want the ghost of my father mucking it up. And you know what? I want floor credentials. There's no point in us broadcasting from that convention while we're locked in a closet. Stick us on the floor. I don't want to do what a lot of these cats do, these remote broadcasts, especially from the NAB and the R&R convention. You guys go out and do your remotes from a room. What is that? You got to be out there among the people, right? I don't want to go to no NAB convention or R&R convention. I'm going to be broadcasting to other broadcasters, unless, of course, they want to pick up the show. That'd be just great. But the convention, the Democratic convention, I want to be on the floor there. I want to get beat up by one of those sergeant at arms. All that crap that goes on, you know what I'm saying? All that hobnobbing, whatever it is that's going on down there. It looks like a blast, doesn't it? Everybody's in straw hats, balloons. Man, it looks like it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. They're dancing in this. And you know they got those little, speaking of airplane bottles of booze, man, they got those in their purses. They got them shoved in those straw hats. They're everywhere. They're getting ripped. They're chanting Gore's name or Bush. Bush! Bush! They got some guys that had 15 drinks. Mr. Chairman, the state of Kentucky. Hold on, Eddie. I've got the microphone. The state of Kentucky. Shut up, will you? The state of Kentucky. You know, they're all gassed. Kentucky. And that means there's 50 people at one microphone, and they're all leaning on the one guy who gets the job, and they're all sweating on him, breathing on him. I mean, if you light a match, the alcohol in that, in the air alone, the whole place goes up. It must have been a really fun when you could smoke in those things. Smoking cigarettes, drinking booze, and screaming into a microphone on TV? Fantastic. That's what we want. That's what we demand. At Puerto Rico. Ah! Man, that's a big moment for those guys. Puerto Rico. And if I hear it once, I've heard it a million times. Mr. Chairman, Puerto Rico, the 51st state. Yeah, okay. Someday. You guys been saying when I was 2, you said that. Now I'm 47. And it's stuck. Puerto Rico, the 51st state. We got to get on the floor of that thing. So whoever you know, Schaefer. And I don't want to hear about this, oh, well, you should have had your credentials in by May. You know what? If they let all those juiced people, you know, those gassed-up delegates, these cats used to be working the line shift, like at the Ford plant or something, and now they're on the floor, and they're swilling out of their little airline bottles. How come I can't sit down there and do a three-hour radio show for one stinking day? We have security considerations. You have security considerations? Last time I saw a convention, there was a guy there with a balloon hat on, and he was, what do you mean security considerations? I saw some guy with a like a balloon dachshund parked on his head and a big button that said, you know, Missouri, the show me state. And he was in the Oregon delegation. You know, what do you mean security? There is no security of that. Wearing clown makeup. And then they said Oregon. And that's the guy that went up to the mic. Mr. Chairman, I'm in clown makeup this evening to drive home the point that the, seriously, the spotted owl needs help. So those guys get in, we get in. Naturally, we won't, but I'm just making a show of toughness for the audience. We're not going to get anywhere near that place. Okay, Phil Hendry here at 1-800. Keep trying, though, Mike. Keep banging on the door, even if you have to sleep with somebody, all right? Thanks. Good way. Mike, give me the thumbs up on that. It's great. 1-800, can we crash a convention? We can try. We can go to jail. Hey. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. By the way, Tower Records is a tremendous outlet. Tower Records and Videos and all that crap. I think is they've extended the marquee out to include all of that, right? Tower Records and Videos and all the other crap we can, DVD and everything, is such a fine example of a multimedia emporium that I wish you guys would, you know, extend yourselves a little bit and go out to the burbs, and you have the Ticketmaster outlet there as well. Get out. I know mostly they're urban, aren't they? They're like in Hollywood. At least here they're in Hollywood. They're in Los Angeles. And I don't know any other states where they are. San Francisco. But they're not out in the suburbs. They ain't out where I live. So we got to keep going into Blockbuster. Now, look. And I'm going to try to hit this one as gently as I can. Blockbuster's fine. It's a fine family outlet. It's not very challenging. It's not very interesting in there. You know, it's just, it is what it is. And it's, frankly, are they still editing their movies? Am I hearing, you know, I better not hear any more about that. Boy, if I hear any more about that, I'm going to take my Blockbuster card, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the scissors to it, and there, then you'll see. Yeah, like, where am I going to go if I don't? I got no place to go but Blockbuster, so it ain't going to happen. There's nowhere to rent videos out in Thousand Oaks, California. That where? If I don't go to Blockbuster, where? There is nowhere but Blockbuster. Now, if Tower was out there, no, it ain't going to be out there, man. Their roots are in the sort of the bohemian urban landscape of San Francisco and the Hollywood, you know, the big selection of records and tapes, and that's fine. But look, I sacrificed an awful lot when I got married with the four stepkids, moved on out to the burbs. It's a beautiful thing. But every now and again, I got to get some release from all of that. How about an interesting place to rent a stinking video instead of walking into Blockbuster? I say the words Blockbuster around my house. The kids are all, yay! Let's go to Blockbuster. Uh-huh. And what are we renting today? Something About Mary? Yeah, all right, okay, guys, let's go to Blockbuster. What do you want to get? Armageddon. That'll be 406 times you've seen Armageddon now, okay? I know, Men in Black. Oh, well, we haven't seen that one lately. Last week, that'll make 312 we've seen Men in Black. There's a Tower Records in the North Ranch Mall, Westlake. You know what? I knew that. I went in there, I bought a... You know what? I don't get any... don't they... Okay, don't I feel like an idiot? There is. There's a Tower Records in the North. Did somebody just call me that? Because I've been in there and I purchased all kinds of CDs, all kinds of remedial help. But I never went in there to rent videos. There's videos? Well, I'm going in now. All I'm saying is just a little competition for the blockheads at Blockbuster. You're all fine people and you're very nice. And thank you very much for sending me all those timely reminders that I owe you another $20. It's a great place. If you got kids, it's a fantastic place. But just a little something different, okay? I don't know. I don't know what it is I'm looking for. The sorrow and the pity and a red violin. You know. Okay, there's that. And then we had a very ethnic 4th of July. We had a Maori feast at a friend's house. One member of their family is related down through the years to Maori tribesmen of New Zealand. So we didn't have a barbecue. They dug a pit in their backyard, set it on fire, threw in corn husks, then baskets of turkey and corn on the cob and baked potatoes, cover that over with soaked linen cloth, cover that over with soaked burlap, cover that over with dirt, and let it cook in the ground for 7 hours, pulled it out of the ground, and it was is the best dirt I've ever had. No, it was great. That's what we had. And I got up at 5:30 to help bury this thing with dirt. Blew my back out. I'm not complaining. It was really great. Stopped at Starbucks. They were open at 5:30. There's a lot of stuff going on up there that I don't get. Why Starbucks open at 5:30 on the 4th of July out there in T.O. where I just found out there's a Tower Records? Why? Stopped in at Starbucks. God, there's just some stuff going on that I'm not very comfortable with. Starbucks being open at 5:30 on a 4th of July is one of them. And by the way, if I said anything about Coors to offend the distributors in Chicago, I'm very sorry about that, too. I can't say anything right, do anything right, nothing. I heard that somebody at Coors was upset with me for saying something about, am I right or am I wrong that Coors was involved in a political contretemps of some nature? Am I right or wrong? Have you heard about this? Maybe I'm wrong. It could be. It's just my opinion. I thought I read something. I don't care. I think they're a fine organization, a fine operation. I drank their beer all through high school. But once I turned 18, you know, things change. But if you're 14, there's nothing like Coors. Oh, excuse me. I guess I said something wrong again. It's all my friends' mothers. That's all they ever drank. That's all we could ever get our hands on. Coors! I'm going to look it up during the news break. I'm going to look it up and I'm going to find out, wasn't there something going on with Coors and some group in this country? But you know what? Turn around and some group's got a problem with everybody, right? Budweiser's, you know, the Clydesdales don't dig Bud. You know, they're going to lose the Clydesdale vote. So I seriously thought that there was something happening there. But in any event, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Sitting out there with Starbucks at 4:30 in the morning on a 4th of July and then going out there and covering up all that Maori food with a shovel, and I blew my back out, and then I twisted my knee playing basketball. I walked off of that party on the 4th of July like the walking dead. Bad back, no knee, ankle gone, playing basketball. Yeah, right, Henry. And boy, do I've got plenty of wind, man. I was in that game about 2 minutes, and I was like, okay, I'm done. Sweating like a pig. Yeah, I had a little taste. I had some beers, had a few beers, had a little vodka, whatever, you know. It's the 4th of July. I wasn't driving. My wife was. She was drinking, too. I'm kidding. No, she was the designated driver, and, you know, and we kind of rotate between her and our 8-year-old daughter. It's either Maria or Catherine. Next party, Catherine. It's you, honey. Have I taught you reverse yet? It's the big stick on the thing, and you just, you know, just you press your foot on the gas, and the car go forward. No problem. And then the other pedal is, yeah, that's right, the left foot is the brake, the right foot is the gas. You'll get it. No time to teach you about these things, but we're going to be taking the freeway. God, I got to get DVD, I got to get some of that TiVo crap, and what is that interactive thing? I got a lot of stuff to do this summer. What is that interactive thing you can play in a game show network? You can go interactive on that. Did you hear about that? That's one of the great things of my life. I can go interactive on a game show network as soon as I get TiVo and a DVD. Oh, it's called Pong. I'm sorry. Thanks a lot. I was wondering what that interactive thing is. I'm told it's Pong. It's the Phil Henry Show.